I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer online one-on-one sessions, packages, and online courses for the conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me, and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Maya. Maya is a young mama of one from Texas, USA. She's a spiritual yogi and a certified yoga teacher, as well as a full-time college student majoring in child development. In today's episode, Maya will share about becoming pregnant and just knowing she didn't want to birth in a hospital, so she decided to birth at a birth center. But when her baby wanted to be breech, the birth center told her she could either have a cesarean or she needed to change care providers. Well, Maya wanted a natural birth, so she decided to change care providers and found herself a perfect team and had a beautiful breech birth at home. I'm so happy she wanted to share her natural home breech birth story with us, as we need to change the narrative that breech is dangerous and needs to happen dictated and controlled by an obstetrician with a woman up in stirrups in hospital with a room full of spectators. Breech is a variation of normal. Curious about Maya? Find her on Instagram as Maya Lu Yoga. Now we are coming closer to solstice. On the 21st, it's midsummer here in Sweden in the northern hemisphere and midwinter in the southern hemisphere. I wonder if you and your people will celebrate solstice, whether midsummer or midwinter. I love how the midsummer tradition is alive and thriving in Sweden. An old pagan nature religion fertility festival that's lived on so strong in our modern society. Not that most people would know that this is what midsummer truly is about. But when you point out to them that we're dancing around the maypole, which represents the god, the phallus symbol penetrating the earth, and that women would pick specific flowers on the night of midsummer to place underneath her pillow to dream of her husband, then there's a light switch that turns on in people's eyes. I will celebrate with my family, eating lots of traditional foods and probably visiting a bigger celebration and dance around the maypole as we do, and play games late into the longest day of the year. I love midsummer. If you'd like to see pictures of my midsummer celebration, then come on and join the village where I'll be sharing what I'm up to this solstice. Find the link in the show notes. Hi, Maya, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to have a home breech birthing mama on the podcast. And you're just 2 weeks postpartum, which I think is some kind of record on the podcast as well. Yes.
I'm finally at the point where I can sit without being in pain.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Can't believe you have a two-week-old little baba. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you had a breech birth at home. So with no further ado, tell us absolutely everything. I mean, first I want to hear, did you plan a home birth before you knew you were breech? Or yeah, take us back, like falling pregnant and deciding on this kind of birth experience.
Okay, so falling pregnant all the way back to conception. my partner and I had decided that we were going to do a little staycation, like a mini vacation within our hometown, or, you know, within like Dallas, because we're from Texas. So we were at this little hotel and we had spent like a few weeks apart because we were both traveling to visit family. So we were together and, you know, it was a good weekend. So I wouldn't say we were necessarily trying to get pregnant, but we weren't trying to prevent pregnancy at the same time. So, yeah, so we had that weekend. It was lovely, you know, spent time together, got couples massages. It was just a really good like trip. Mm. I remember the next morning him asking me like, do you want a plan B? And me sitting on the, I was peeing, me sitting on the toilet and thinking like, this answer is going to change my life. And I told him, I was like, no, I don't think we need one. Like, I don't think I'm ovulating. No, we don't need one. Lo and behold, I fell pregnant. Yeah. So I like fast forward like a week or two later, I had like spotting and I was like, you know, that's weird. Cause at first I was bleeding and I was like, oh, you know, that's my period. But then the bleeding stopped. And I was like, that's weird. Cause my period is like clockwork. So I was like, huh, like that's odd. That never happens. Later on that night, my sister came over to hang out and we were both chatting and she randomly said, you know, I can't wait to be an aunt. Like, I'm going to be the best aunt ever. And I was like, that is so random for you to say. And I told her, I was like, well, that's not going to happen for a long time. So it's not going to happen for a long time. So that night we watched a movie together and it's funny because she picked the movie and the movie that we watched was, I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Netflix. It's called Look Both Ways. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, it has like two split realities. Like one part of the movie is like she pees on a pregnancy stick and she's not pregnant. And so she goes throughout her life. And the other split reality is she is pregnant. So it's like comparing the two parallels between being pregnant and not being pregnant. And after watching this movie, I decided to take the pregnancy test and I peed on the stick and then I looked at it and I was like, okay, not pregnant. Cool. You know, it takes time to develop, but I just glanced at it and I was like, not pregnant. Did, you know, finish doing what I needed to do, wash my hands. And then I looked at it again and there's a very faint line. And I was like, oh my God, like, am I pregnant? I was initially like very excited. Like, I'm 22 years old and I'm still a college student. So for me, like, I was like, I don't know how my family's going to take this, but I was very excited. So yeah. And from there, I told my partner and told my parents and everyone was really excited. I was really surprised at how they all took it. So.
Wow. Amazing. And he too, he was also excited.
Yes, he was definitely excited, but he was like making sure like this is something you want. And I'm like, yes, this is something I want. So yeah, it was good feelings all around.
And so what happened then? Did you know from that get-go that you wanted a home birth?
No, I honestly didn't. So I initially was with my OB office. And so I just went to them because that's just where I go for my checkups. And I remember asking them at like 12 or 13 weeks of pregnancy, I asked like, do you guys only birth in the hospital? And they told me yes. And so immediately I was like, okay, well, I need to find somewhere else to go because I knew I did not want to birth in the hospital.
Oh.
But I didn't necessarily know that I wanted to birth at home though. I just didn't want to be in the hospital.
And why is that? What made you not want to be in the hospital?
I feel like if I was in the hospital, I'd have to fight. Like I would really have to fight them to have a natural birth.
Right. And that was important to you. You wanted to have a natural birth.
Yes. Like I'm the type of person that doesn't even take medicine for like period cramps. Like I want to experience it. I want to feel into my body. yeah, so from there, we started looking at birth centers because I was like, don't want to be in the hospital, but I don't know if I could do at home. Like, that seems like a little much. So I found a birthing center, really loved them. It was like a house. It was literally a house, but it was a birthing center. Mm. Felt really homey there. I loved it. I switched at, I think, 16 weeks. Loved it there. They felt so welcoming to me and so warm. So I stayed with them. And then when I reached 34 weeks of pregnancy, we discovered that he was breached. Mm. And when I asked them, do you guys do breech deliveries? They said, no, absolutely not. Like, we don't do that. Yeah.
Right.
So I asked, I was like, okay, so at 34 weeks, I went throughout the week and I just did spinning babies. I tried to get him to flip. They wanted me to get an ECV. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. It felt very like, I don't want to manipulate him because I'm like, if he's breached, then he probably needs to be breached. That's
the reason. Yeah. You know, babies choose breech for different reasons. Sometimes it's like a really short cord, or there's something with the baby that is like, well, the baby chose that. Or like spiritually, like wants to come with the baby's bum first, or that's just how it navigates your uterus. And I mean, some babies flip and that's fine for them. And for some, they will flip back because it wasn't fine for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they offered me an ECV, I was like, no, like, I really don't want to do that. So I declined an ECV and just tried to do spinning babies to try to flip them on my own. Lo and behold, it didn't end up working for me. I know some people who swear by spinning babies, but it didn't work for me. So,
well, it will only work if your baby wants to move, you know, if that's the right thing, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. He was very stubborn. He did not want to move.
He does. Yeah. He wanted to be born bum first.
Yeah. So when I went back at 35 weeks, he was still breached. And I asked them, you know, what happens if I reach 37 weeks and he's still breached? And they said, well, we'll either schedule you a C-section or you can switch care providers.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And when I heard that, I was like, no way. I'm not sitting around to wait to, you know, get a C-section. So I immediately started looking for midwives who do breech deliveries.
Mm.
So I reached out on one of my Facebook groups asking for, like, you know, suggestions of midwives that people knew who did breech. And I found like three. So I called them, spoke to them, you know, did interviews. And then I found one midwife that really resonated with me. So I feel like our personalities clashed really well. So I was like, okay, now I feel comfortable with her. And it's funny because she ended up being like my close friend who was pregnant with me. She ended up being her midwife's best friend. So I was just like, you know, I feel like this is just meant to be.
Yeah, how beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So after choosing her, my friend was like, that's my midwife's best friend. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what a small world. Like, who would have known? It just worked out really well. So I switched over to her at 35 weeks. And then at 37 weeks, she had me go in for a like ultrasound to see exactly what type of breech he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a frank breech position. So she's like, perfect. We're good to go.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So we stayed there. At 38 weeks of pregnancy, I didn't feel him move for a couple of hours. And that kind of freaked me out. So my midwife told me to go to the hospital. So we went there. They checked his heartbeat. He was perfectly fine. He was just not moving a lot.
Hmm.
But being in the hospital really cemented it for me that I did not want to give birth in the hospital. Because they took me to the labor and delivery ward and it was so cold and it was just not welcoming. Like, it wasn't a good feeling. I was like, I feel like I'm in a scary movie. Like, that's honestly how it felt to me. Like, just quiet hallways, people everywhere, like, you know, people moving quickly. And I was just like, this just does not feel like where I would want to have my baby. Like, it just didn't feel welcoming at all. I hated being there. And the second I got there, of course, they hooked me up to all these machines. And at first I was like, you know, it's not too bad. But after like an hour or so, I was like, this is so irritating to me. Like, I can't imagine trying to push out a baby and being hooked up to all these machines.
Mm-mm.
So super irritating. I was like, I got to get out of here. So when they finally discharged me, I went home and I was like, yeah, I feel very confident in my choice to give birth at home. Like, I know that this is the right choice for me. Mm. Although it was a little daunting at first to have my first baby at home, like, it was definitely the right choice.
I love that. So take us then to the early signs of labor approaching. Did you have that or did it just start with a bang?
Yeah, so I started having like light cramping, which I guess were like contractions on a Tuesday morning. So like I woke up on Tuesday and I was like, huh, like it feels like my period's coming. But, you know, obviously I was 40 weeks pregnant. So I just had really light cramping throughout the day. My best friend and I had planned to hang out and go get lunch. So we did that. I was like, I'm just going to go throughout my day like normal. It was still so light to where like it didn't hinder me in any way. Like I could still just walk through them, you know, breathe through them, drive through them. I was driving and I was like having contractions and it's perfectly fine. So we went throughout that day, just normal. And then the next day it kind of ramped up a little bit on Wednesday and I knew I was like, I need to rest. So I spent that day just at home resting, eating food, sleeping when I could, taking naps. And it wasn't until Thursday that it really ramped up and I thought it was active labor and it might've been, but I don't know. my contractions became really strong. I would say like out of 10, I was probably at like a 6. So they became strong and I told my partner and he decided to come home and be with me. And I'm glad that he did because his support in those early hours were so important. Mm. Like at first I thought I just wanted to be alone, but having him there was a big help. So it got to the point where I was kind of like breathing deeply through it.
Okay.
And yeah. And then it got to a point where my contractions were like 3 minutes apart, lasting for like 45 seconds. So I called my midwife and my doula to come. So my doula got here first. And it's funny because like as soon as she got here, I felt like my contractions kind of dissipated a little bit. She got here and started like helping me, you know, get in different positions. We were walking up and down the stairs. She was, I guess, trying to get the baby to drop into the pelvis, trying to get things going. And we were walking up and down the stairs. I was still joking and laughing. So I probably was not in active labor because I was still able to. Yeah, I was still in a really good, you know, place. Like I could still laugh and joke.
You were in early labor, you know, and that early labor can go for some time. And it sounds like you had a bit of prodromal before, you know, your uterus getting ready and everything. And so what time are we talking? So you said on Thursday. So is this in the middle of the day? Is it lunchtime? Yeah. Afternoon?
This was about like 1 p.m. when she came.
All right. Yeah. So you had a few hours of like them being a little bit regular, but still quite early.
Yeah, definitely. As soon as my midwife got there, she saw me joking and laughing and she's like, oh, I came too early. She immediately said that. She's like, I'm too early.
Yeah.
So when I heard her say that, I was like, ah, like it kind of deflated me. I was like, ah, like I called you too early. Like, ah. But they stayed for a few hours. They were here till like 7 p.m. Okay. And by that point, my contractions had nearly like gone away. Like my doula was like, okay, let's go curb walking. You know, we did like a 10 minute walk. And then it got to a point I was like, I feel like I'm just wasting my energy.
Yeah, so, good. Because yeah. this is the thing, you know, it's like, in early labor, like go about your day as normally, you know, it's a day, right? But also it's important to save your energy because sometimes, especially the first time, it can be, you know, a bit of a longer, it can be a few days of going in that early on and off, you know, before it actually starts and don't finish, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it does kind of slow down at night, like then it definitely go to bed, like rest.
Yeah. So it slowed down and I was like, you know, on that walk, I was like, yeah, I feel tired. So I was like, I'm just wasting my energy right now. Like if baby's going to come, he's going to come. I didn't feel like right then was the time. So we went back inside. She had me lay on the bed, like on my side with one leg, like propped up on the peanut ball. And I was still having strong contractions. They kind of came back, but they weren't active, you know, labor contractions. So I kind of took like a 30 minute nap. Every time I had a contraction, she would like shake my hips, which is really helpful. I was able to like catch a small nap there. And then she had me like straddle the toilet and I took like a small cat nap there as well. And then it got to a point where my midwife was like, okay, well, we're going to go, you know, it's a little early, just try to rest, try to eat.
Yeah.
So my midwife left and then my doula left as well. I told her, I was like, no, it's okay. You can go. Like, you know, you should get your rest too. At like 7 p.m. they left. And immediately when they left, like my contractions were like, bam, I was like, I don't know if it's because I felt like I was being watched, that my body was just like, we're not doing this.
100%. This is it though. Like, and this is such important information for women to hear, because it is important to dare to be in those early hours by yourself, because other people, even though you love them or they're there to help, if you're not in the deep, like, birth realm already, and even so, sometimes that will affect you. Their presence can totally slow down and even peter off those when you're in the early stage, especially for some women. It even is in the active phase, like they're so highly sensitive that even that will disturb and slow things down when someone new comes into their home, even if it's at home. Like, imagine if you were in a hospital. Like,
I know they would have been putting on Pitocin and trying to put in water. It would have been
totally absolutely, because you were not making progress in the linear fashion, which most women don't, by the way.
I know, they're like, you're not progressing fast enough, and I'm like, but it's my body. Like, you don't know what your body's gonna do.
Exactly. I love that. So they left, and then your body went like, ooh, I'm safe now. I'm all by myself. I'm not being watched.
Exactly. The contractions like ramped up, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to call them because they just left. So I'm like, I'm just going to tough through these. My partner and I turned on a movie. I could not enjoy that movie. Like, I was just having contraction after contraction. He had gotten us food. I could not eat a bit of food. Like, I was past eating. Even though I knew I needed to eat, I was like, there's no way. Like, I'm so past it. Eventually, like, we went to sleep, or he went to sleep. I tried to sleep, maybe got 10 minutes in between contractions. I live with my dad, so I laid down in my bed. And weeks prior, my dad had offered his room for me to birth in, because it's, you know, the biggest room. There's a bathroom connected to it, so it kind of has everything that you need. So my dad came into my room and, you know, said, hey, like, you can come sleep in my bed and I'll go sleep on the couch. And, you know, just in case you have to push on a baby. My dad's a comedian, so when he said that, I was like, yeah, right, like, whatever. I'm not having this baby tonight. You know, I'm not going to push on a baby tonight. But I eventually got up and moved to his room, because I'm still in the mindset of like, oh, it's too early. It's too early. So I moved into his room, didn't really sleep. I eventually went downstairs and made myself a protein shake, because it got to the point where I had lost a lot of my mucus plug. And at that point, it was like 10:30 when that happened, 10:30 p.m. I was like, okay, maybe I am going to have a baby tonight. So I texted a picture to my midwife, and she's like, that's a good sign. Like, that's normal. So I went downstairs, made myself a shake, and I drank like maybe a third of that shake before I was like, okay, I'm beyond even drinking this right now.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
So when the contractions got super strong, I called my partner on my phone because he was in the other room and he didn't pick up. And I was like, oh my gosh, why is your phone on silent? So I had gotten up and went to wake him. And as soon as I woke him, I felt like a gush. And I was like, what was that? I had looked and it was just blood. So I think it was my bloody show.
Ooh.
I texted that to my midwife. That was probably at maybe 12:30 a.m. And she was like, okay, like, that's a good sign. Maybe we'll see each other tonight. Like, hopefully we see each other tonight. I just kind of kept going through it. My contractions got to a point where I could not stand through them anymore. And I had to get in the shower. So I stripped down, got in the shower, and started pointing the hot water at my belly just so I could, like, you know, survive the contractions. They were just so strong at that point. Mm-hmm. I asked my partner to blow up the pool because I had planned to do a water birth or at least labor in the pool, and it just didn't happen. But he blew up the pool and started timing my contractions. And by this point, they're like a minute and a half apart, and they were lasting for like 45 seconds to a minute long. I asked them to, you know, tell the midwife, tell my doula. And my doula ended up showing up right when I ran out of hot water, which is perfect. It was like 1 a.m. when she got here, maybe 1:30, somewhere around there. Yeah. And she had a TENS unit where, like, you stick it on your back and it kind of like shocks you.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as she got here, I dried off and she put it on. And that was a huge help, like, throughout my labor. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I didn't have that, it would have been very rough. Yeah, so I was glad to have that and glad to have her. She was a huge support. So much so that I'm like, do I want to be a doula? Like, she was such a good support for me during that time. Yeah. And then my midwife got there, or my midwife student. So my midwife has a midwife student, like, she's a student. So she got there first and checked my vitals, and, you know, everything was fine. Checked baby's heartbeat, you know, we're perfectly fine. And then my midwife got here, and by that point I was in the throes of labor, so nothing really threw me off at that point. Like, I don't feel like anything could have stopped my contractions. I don't know, that's just nature. So I'm like, if something crazy happened, maybe my body would have stopped. I don't know. Yeah, I just kept laboring. At this point, they were having me move into different positions. So they had me sit on the toilet. I was on all fours at one point. At the very beginning of it, my partner and I were, like, holding each other and, like, rocking side to side. He was a big support, like, in the early phases, for sure. Mm. I feel like once labor, like, really hiked up, I was like, don't touch me, don't talk to me, don't look at me.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, he was a huge support. With every contraction, we would just, like, sway back and forth. And then my doula had me prop, like, one leg up on a stool to kind of make that imbalance, I guess.
Mm.
We did that for a while until I got to the point where I was like, I can't really stand through these anymore. They had me on the bed with one leg up. And they just, you know, kept making me get in different positions. Like, when I felt comfortable, they were like, okay, we need to change. And I was like, no, I don't want to. But eventually I would get up, and because I'm like, you know, they know how to, you know, help baby progress.
Mm.
I tried to listen to them as best I could, but I was also, like, listening to my body.
Yeah, that's the combination, isn't it? It's like, you know, they can hold wisdom from seeing, you know, other women births, especially the midwife probably seeing, you know, hundreds of births. At the end of the day, like, you know your baby, you know your body best. And to listen to all the advice and then listen within and go, like, okay, is this sound advice? Like, is this true? Yes or no? And, you know, it's okay to say no and go, like, actually, I feel like I need to stay in this. And it's also like, you know, because sometimes we stay in a comfortable position and we don't want to move, because if we move into more discomfort. But actually, it's in the discomfort that the progress happens, like, leaning into that pain, right? And not be afraid of it. And that's somewhere where, especially maybe a midwife can sometimes push you a little bit, go, like, actually, I think if you sit on the toilet now, I know it's, like, intense, but doing that will bring the head down, which will probably mean that maybe you have, like, an hour less of, you know, the pushing, for example, right? So, like, there is wisdom in midwifery wisdom, but always, always check in with yourself and see, okay, what's my intuition saying? Like, what's my gut feeling? And I hear that you did that as well, which is beautiful.
Yeah, 100%. Every time they wanted me to move, I was like, it's going to get more intense. And they're like, that's good. So I was really trying to, like, lean into that as well. Like, I was like, I know that like I need to soften and relax. So I was constantly trying to soften, and my doula would remind me like, you know, soften your face, soften your jaw. So I feel like that was really helpful. When my midwife initially got there, she asked to check me, and I was like, absolutely not. Like, there is no way. I don't want you to check me. She had another midwife that she was going to have come because she said they do breech births together.
Yeah.
So when I told her no, she was like, well, I'm just trying to see like when to tell her to come. And I was like, I do not care. Like, no, you're not going to check me.
Love it.
Yeah. So I continued to labor. And then eventually around like 3 a.m., I was laying on the bed, side laying with like one leg up on the peanut ball. And then I just like felt a pop and like just like a gush of like warm fluid. And I was immediately like, my water. I just said, my water. And they were like, oh, okay. So they got me to get up and they cleaned like the pads that they had on the bed, changed them out. I'm trying to remember where they had me. I feel like they had me go back on the toilet when my water broke. Mm-hmm. So I went and sat back on the toilet. And then I came back to the bed. I was like kneeling on my knees with my arms like up on the side of the bed.
Hmm.
And that at that point, I asked my midwife, I was like, should I start pushing? Because I felt like I needed to start pushing. Hmm. So I asked her, should I push? And her answer was, listen to your body, whatever your body says.
Like your midwife.
Yeah. She was like, listen to your body. And I was like, I think I need to push. And she's like, okay. So I started pushing. With every contraction at that point, when I felt like I needed to push, it felt like my body had taken over. Like, even if I had tried to not push, I don't think I would have been able to. Like, my body was like, no, we're pushing. I feel like the pushing phase, like, I was there, but I feel like my body was in the driver's seat. I didn't have a say at that point. Mm-mm. Like, every time I needed to push, even if I was scared to push, like, there was no stopping it. That was a magical experience, like just feeling my body take over. Cause you know, beforehand you think you have control. And then when you get to the pushing phase, I'm like, I don't really have as much control as I thought I had.
Nah, you're along for the ride. You have control of your mind. You have control out of your inner experience. You have control over your breath sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And you have control over the decision to surrender to the force that comes through you. That's what you can control. And you shouldn't try to control anything else. You should, you know, that is the key, right? Is to surrender to that mighty force that comes through.
Yeah. So I was just trying to like be in the moment and relax through every contraction. And I kept thinking to myself, like, my contractions are not stronger than me because they come from my body.
That's it.
Yeah. So constantly reminding myself that, like, you know, this is okay. And after every contraction, I get a break. So it's survivable. You know, it's not, you always hear about birth and it sounds like it's like the worst thing ever that anyone can go through, the most painful thing ever. And I'm like, that was not my experience at all. Like, it was very manageable. I mean, obviously it was painful. Well, very intense. It was very intense, but it was manageable for sure. I started pushing and then I got on all fours on the bed. And this is pretty much where I stayed for like the remainder of my labor. So that I was on all fours. Best
position for a breech. I just want to say for anyone listening, like, so on all fours or hands and knees is the best. So your intuition told you, like, you followed your body and that is key, right? So when we follow our bodies, she knows where to go. She knows what to do to birth our babies.
Yeah. And it's so funny because before I was at that point, and I would hear people being on all fours. I'm like, how is that comfortable? Like, that sounds like the worst position ever. But in the moment, I was like, no, this is where I need to be. Yeah, I was on all fours. And then they brought the peanut ball. So I propped my elbows up on the peanut ball and I was just leaning on that. Yeah, and that's where I pushed my baby out. I kept reaching back to feel his butt. And when I finally reached back and I felt his bum, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm almost there. Like, you know, he's right there. Like, I can feel him. So I just kept pushing and, you know, after every wave, you know, there'd be a break and then I'd push. I was making these really like loud, like using my vocal cords when I was pushing. Mm. And then my doula suggested pushing with the J sound. Mm. So I was pushing with like, like that was the sound I was making. Mm. And I feel like that really saved my vocal cords. Like, I feel like if I had kept pushing the way I was like wasting energy and My voice would have been gone. Like, it would have been gone. I wouldn't have had a voice after. That was helpful. Yeah, I just stayed there. And then right at the last push, they suggested that I put one knee up because I guess it was coming out kind of sideways. So I put one knee up and then I had one scream because it was, I tried not to scream the whole time because I was like, I'm just going to waste energy. But at that last push, I was fearful. Like, I really was.
Yeah.
Because the sensations were so strong.
Yeah.
And I didn't know when the ending was coming. So at that very last push, because I knew I couldn't stop the pushes. I couldn't make my body not push. So when I knew that next push was coming, I did let out a scream. And then he just flopped out. Like, that was the last push and he came out. And before that had happened, I had looked back and saw poop. And I was like, is that my poop or his poop? And they were like, no, he's pooping. And I was like, oh, okay. Because the whole time, like, I felt like I needed to poop. I kept telling them, like, I need to poop. And they're like, that's your baby.
Yeah.
So when I looked back and I saw the poop, I was like, is that me? And they were like, no, he's pooping. Because, you know, he's coming out bum first.
Yeah, it's getting squeezed. Everything's getting squeezed. That is so normal for a breech baby to poop. It's so normal and, you know, very logical. And also, like, with you having that last scream, like, first of all, so what everyone has to understand is that when the bum comes first, it's the smaller part first. So with head first, it's the head that's the biggest, right? And so that's when you have the ring of fire. But when it's the opposite, right, then the head is last. And so you would have that experience at the absolute end of, like, okay, here's the biggest part needing to come through. And of course you'd feel fear and stretching and, like, and actually doing a scream there, opening your throat opens your vagina. You know, it actually helps. So I think that was your body telling you to do that because it helped you to release your baby.
Oh, wow. I had no clue. I thought that screaming would do the opposite effect.
Not necessarily. Nuh-uh. And it depends how you scream and at what time and, you know, all of that. So, nah. If you feel that, you know, this helps, then you do it. I think it helps also getting that last, like, bit of courage screaming, you know, and, like, allowing it to open. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. So I let out that scream. Before that point, I had looked back and saw the poop and I had said, like, don't let my baby fall in the poop. Like, don't let him fall in the poop. So I screamed and then he plopped out and he fell in the poop. And I was like, what did I just say? And they were like, pick up your baby. So I scooped and, you know, I looked down, I scooped him up. He let out a big cry, like, almost immediately. And as soon as he started crying, I was like, it's okay, baby. Like, I'm right here. It's okay. Like, you know, hi, welcome to the world. Talking to him. And when he heard my voice, he stopped crying. So that was very, like, reassuring to me. I was like, oh, like, he knows my voice.
Yeah, he does. They can hear you for, like, half of their pregnancy. They hear your voice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I scooped him up and they were like, don't forget, he's still attached. So I just put him on like my lower belly. My umbilical cord is still mostly inside of me, so it wasn't, like, long enough to get him up here. So I leaned back on the bed and placed him on my belly. Yeah, I mean, I sat there and we, you know, had our little skin-to-skin moment. And then they were like, okay, it's time to birth the placenta. And I was like, are you sure it's time? Like, they were like, yeah, it's time. The cord stopped pulsing. So I'm like, okay. After I pushed him out, I didn't have any more contractions. Like, my body didn't contract anymore. So they told me to push and I was like, I don't know how to push because my body did it for me. I was like, I don't know what you mean when you say push. Like, I just pushed out a baby, but, like, my body did it. So I'm like, now that I'm not having contractions, I don't know what you want me to do. So they told me to just cough. They're like, okay, just cough. So I coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed. And they just kind of, like, slowly pulled out the placenta. So after they pulled it out, it was like an instant relief. Like, I could, I was like, huh. Like, okay, I feel lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my baby came out measuring 9 pounds and 4 ounces. I don't know what that translates to for you guys. He's a pretty big boy.
He's a big boy, yeah. I would estimate, I'm also really bad at that, the whole pound stuff, because we have obviously kilos. I would say close to 4 kilos, I would say, or like just under maybe 3.8 or something like that, maybe. A big boy. Okay.
Yeah. And he measured like 23.5 inches. So he was long, almost 2 feet. I'm like, okay, you're a big boy. I'm 5'10", so I'm like, you know, it makes sense that I'd have a big baby.
Exactly. So,
yeah. I know other people would be like, oh, like instant C-section, your baby's too big. But I'm like, my body wouldn't need a baby that's too big.
No way. No, that's it. You know, unless you have some kind of condition that makes your baby huge, you know, which is super duper rare. Like a normal woman would not, you know, bake a baby she could not birth.
You just don't. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I had my little baby with me and I mean, still to this day, it's so surreal. I look at him and I'm like, did I really push you out of my vagina? Like, I really pushed you out. Like, it's still such a surreal thing. Even 2 weeks later, I'm still in awe of my body.
Yeah. And everything. Wow. Yeah.
And I look at him and I'm like, you could technically still be in my body right now. Like, I would be 42 weeks. Like, you could still. So it's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would tell her that if she knows the type of birth that she wants and her care provider isn't providing that she should switch. It's never too late to switch. I switched twice in my pregnancy and I'm so glad I did, because my birth would have been completely different if I didn't.
So, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I would definitely say fight for the birth that you want. Advocate for yourself, because no one's going to do it for you. Even like when I was in the throes of labor, my partner was like, you know, maybe we should go to the hospital. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. Like, don't say that. So yeah, you have to advocate for yourself. Even the people that love you sometimes have fear and will try to deter you from what you want to do just because of their own fear. So definitely advocate for yourself and know what you want. It's never too late to switch care providers. I would say the only time it's too late is if you're in active labor.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If you don't have a midwife walking past outside and you scream.
Yeah, literally. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I love that advice. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your positive, amazing breech birth story. We need more of them. If you're listening to this podcast and you had a natural and empowering breech birth, then come on the podcast too, because we need more of these stories circulating the world, because breech is only a variation of normal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And especially in the US, it's so, people are like, oh, like, no, you need a C-section. Like, it's dangerous. And it's like, it's really not. It's just people are undereducated about it, for sure.
Absolutely. And we just miss providers that actually are confident in it, because it has a little higher risk, And so it's good to have someone there who knows the skills in case it's needed. But most babies, just like head down, will slip on out without needing anyone to do anything. The same with brain, just head down. So, you know, it's just the skills that are missing and the confidence among so many practitioners.
Yeah. Like he came out on his own. The only thing my midwife did was she just kind of pulled out his arm. But besides that, he just came out.
Brilliant. So, beautiful. Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much. Such a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.